Good morning. We welcome you to the morning worship service of South Norfolk Baptist Church. Our ushers are coming forward with visitors' cards, and we'd like to welcome those of you who are visiting with us this morning. If you're a visitor and not a member of our church, of our congregation, would you lift your hand and keep it raised till we give you a visitor's card? I see one in the middle. Any in the balcony who are with us? Are there others? We're so glad that you are visiting with us, and those of you who are home folk are here this morning. It's a pleasure to see each of you. Let me make a special welcome to our special guest speaker this morning, and we will be having special guests throughout the week during our World Missions Conference. Our special guest is Reverend Gwynn Davis, Jr. He is a state missionary and works as the director of the Department of the Christian Life Concerns of the Virginia Baptist General Board in Richmond. He is a former pastor of Stevens Memorial Baptist Church in Newport News. He is a licensed professional counselor. He is married, has an 11-year-old son, and an 18-month-old daughter. So he is a family man, and I hope that you'll have an opportunity to speak with him afterwards. And we're just thrilled that he is here. We have heard him speak before, and he did an excellent job. So we have anticipated this morning and the words that he has to share with us. And he is not the only one who's going to be with us special this week, as I mentioned. Tonight at 7:30, we have a special speaker. Monday and Tuesday at 7, note that time, at 7, we will also have special speakers, and on Wednesday night at 7:30, those who are missionaries serving either in our state or as home missionaries or as foreign missionaries. And this is for the entire family. So boys and girls, you come out too and be a part of this conference. And learn what these missionaries have to say to you. Learn about where they're working and what they're doing. There will be a nursery for children 3 and under. So you remember that and invite your friends and neighbors to be a part of our World Missions Conference this week. Tonight, a special part of that will be a World Missions Conference reception after the service tonight. So you'll want to stay and you'll want to be a part of that reception tonight. If you have any questions about the conference this week, I'll be glad to take the questions of any kind. If you need transportation, there's a list on my door that says, if you need transportation, write your name down and I'll make sure that you get here. Someone will pick you up if you need a way. So don't use that as an excuse. We can get you here to the conference and get you home and take you into your home to make sure things are safe when you get there. So don't use that as an excuse. You may have others, but that's one we don't want you to use because we do want you to be able to be here. Our Annie Armstrong offering, I know you're interested in that. All of our lights should be lighted, but they are not. But they should be, and even more, because our goal was $1,893, and we have went above that goal, $1,961.03. So we are real thrilled that we have reached and gone above the goal that we set for our Annie Armstrong offering. And another note is that men 16 years and older, if you're interested in softball playing this summer, if you would meet in Fellowship Hall immediately following our service. We are glad that you were here with us this morning, and I hope that you'll make every day, today through Wednesday, a special time for our World Missions Conference.
Take your hymnal and turn with me to hymn number 1 as we sing together, Holy, Holy, Holy. Hymn number 1 as we stand together, please.
Holy, 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 Christ, Lord and Lord.
together?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, it is a grateful heart that we bow before Thee this morning, thanking Thee for Thy many blessings. And truly, all the earth does praise Thy name. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You would be with us today. Make our hearts receptive to the message that You have for us. And we thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, for Thy comfort and for Thy love and for Thy understanding for sinful men. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now as you're seated, keep your hymnal and turn with me to 454. 454, Down at the Cross. You to bow with me in a time of meditation and prayer, and as we come to this time, I'd ask you to remember those things in your life that maybe need to be brought to God at this time. Also remember Brother Davis as he comes to speak to us in a moment. Let's pray together. Father, this morning as we come to You, we know that there are many needs in all of our lives, and we just pray, Lord, that as these have been lifted up, that You'd hear those prayers. Lord, we know that You can meet every need in our lives. Lord, we know that You care for each one of us, even as You care for the sparrow. Lord, we just pray that as we come to this hour this morning, that all that is said and sung, all that is done might be done for Your glory. Lord, we'd lift up Brother Davis this morning as he comes to share with us the concerns of his life and his ministry. And Lord, we just pray for the other missionaries across this association as they come to this hour, that you'd use this time, that we'd be made more aware of the ministries that continue to be performed because of our gifts and our love for you, but most of all because of Jesus Christ, who died for us. Lord, give us a good hour this morning, a good time together in your name. Amen. Our offertory hymn is 405. We'll sing the first and third stanzas as we stand together, please. Close, would you lead us, please, as we pray?
Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving you our small gifts. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us without speaking about our lives. Take what we give, Lord, and multiply it and use it to your glory for the needs of the people of your earth. And we ask in Jesus' name.
Thank you. It is a distinct pleasure and honor for me to stand in this place. I don't want to think that far ago. When I was in junior college, a man whom I suppose all of you still know, the Reverend Samuel Tatum, captured my imagination by explaining to me that there was a greater lifestyle than the one I had been living, and that it was important enough for me to consider that lifestyle that he was willing for me to come to his dorm room and cry and pray together until 4 in the morning, until the Spirit of Christ came to me in a way I had never known, and I began to see what it meant to be a Christian. I love Sam Tatum, and I love the church that gave birth to a man like that. We have since kept up over the years, and without seeking any kind of credit for it, I have periodically, through the toughest times of my life, gotten a note from Sam just to keep me going. You know, it seems to me that that has a lot to do with what I have come to talk with you about this morning. We know the most about Jesus Christ and are most convinced that Jesus can do what he said he would do by looking at how the people who believe in him live and treat us. I've often said, and you don't need to hear it, but to give you an idea where I'm coming from, I've often said to churches who get off on tangents that the crux of the Christian faith to the unsaved man and woman and young person on the street, where the water hits the wheel for them, is not whether or not we can speak in tongues, but how we use our tongues to speak to them. Not what we believe, but what we are and what we do. Scripture says Jesus went about doing good. And when we seek to evangelize the world, I think we have to remember that what we do has to speak in concert with what we say the Christian faith is about. What we believe must show in the way we behave. Reverend David Lockhart is now with the Christian Life Commission and was once a missionary to the Africans. Not too long ago, he and his wife Susie were on their way to a very important evangelistic meeting. They were running late by schedule. Now, that we're talking about a several days' journey. And as they pushed on through the bush, it started to rain. And they got word that the river in front of them on the road was so flooded that they could not pass across it. And so they started back. And the river that they had just crossed was also flooded. And so they had to wait a long time. They slept that night in the four-wheeler. Late the next day, the river subsided and they could go forward. And they were in a hurry. He said he's never driven that vehicle in that terrain like he drove it then. And as he was wheeling around the side of a mountain, making his way to the revival, he noticed off to the side, at just a quick glimpse, he saw this vehicle down a slide, and there were two men standing beside it. And the great inclination was to keep going and not be late. He said he got about 100 yards past that vehicle and he had to put on the brakes and stop. He just had to go back and see what was wrong. He almost didn't. When he got back, got out of the vehicle and walked down to the folks having car trouble, they were shouting loudly and excitedly to one another in Zulu. Translated, they were saying this, one to the other, "I told you he would stop. I told you he would stop. He is a missionary." David said, "I thought, Lord, how close I came to killing your witness by going on." And then he said, "I thought this, what right did they have to think I would stop? I didn't even know them. They believed in a pagan God, not Jesus." Then he said, "They had every right to expect me to help because they knew that I had taken the name of one who went about doing good. Even these unbelievers understood that a disciple is to do what his Lord does." Excuse me. To me, that is the heart of what we try to do at the Department of Christian Life Concerns. Serve as a resource and a motivator and a helper to Virginia Baptist to get us all better equipped to do what our Lord does and to learn better what it is that our Lord did in going about doing good. He said in so many places that who you are as one of His is vital. I'm thinking about that passage in Matthew 25 when the Lord said, "I'll tell you how we will determine at the end of time, on the day of judgment, who gets in and who doesn't." You remember that passage? Disciples asked him that question. Wouldn't you like to know the answer? Sure, you know it already. Jesus said, "It's what you did when you saw your neighbor hungry, or thirsty, or naked, or in jail, that tells me who you really are and whose you really are." We all know abundantly well that for Jesus, lip service is not discipleship. Discipleship is one who goes about doing as his Lord does. As he said in that great and beautiful Sermon on the Mount, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?